This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Kelly Kelly Show. Kelly is an award-winning photographer and the owner of the website iloveclearwater.com. Doug is the author of four published books and a contributing editor for Florida Sportsman magazine. And now, here they are.
Yes, sir, we are indeed. And you know what? I don't know if you saw the eclipse today. Kelly and I went out in the backyard, put on some glasses, and did see it. It was partial here.
It was.
As opposed to the middle part of the country, where it was a total. But one of those rarities is kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, one of the duties for those involved in a city's management is to be accessible to the media. I suppose that many such employees look at having to do interviews as about as much fun as getting a tooth pulled at the dentist. But our first guest today is overjoyed and enthusiastic for being with us, I think.
We've known Michael Delk for many years, and he's always friendly, upbeat, and willing to pull back the curtains and share with us the challenges a growing city poses.
Michael Delk is one of two assistant city managers for the city of Clearwater, the other being Dan Slaughter, our former police chief, and the city's manager is Jennifer Poirier.
So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Doug and Kelly. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great
as
to
always.
See you. Great, good to see you.
Michael, when did you first begin working for the city of Clearwater?
February 14th, 2005.
Wow.
On Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Almost nice. 20 years.
First
coming day. Up on 20.
Almost 20 years.
Wow. That's awesome.
Time flies.
What do you get when you're with the city for 20 years?
Maybe a nice Diva cup or something like
a
that.
A cup.
Maybe
it's,
Get closer to the mic. Yeah, there you go.
Sure. Thank
All right. There's 20 years is quite the career.
It is.
Now, what different positions have you held over the years?
Well, I started out as assistant planning director, and that lasted about 30 days, and then I became the planning director.
Oh, wow.
And was the planning director. We actually reorganized the planning department and the development and neighborhood services department, I think around 2009, somewhere along in there.
Okay.
And we went from 17 employees on Friday to about 57 employees on Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were the planning and development director for the next several years until 2018. And then I had an opportunity with the former city manager, late city manager, Mr. Bill Horn, to go over and work in the city manager's office and try to help get the park waterfront redevelopment moving along.
Yep.
And I jumped at the chance to go do that. Bill Horn's probably one of the finest men I've ever had the privilege of working for in my life. It was just a great experience and really a lot of fun to be able to work and help make that come to
fruition. He was a gentleman.
True gentleman.
And a get things done type of guy. And it's hard looking at him to realize he also had a career in the Air Force.
Yes, retired colonel.
Isn't that something? And he didn't look like he had that type of age on him.
Nope.
It's amazing. What departments do you oversee for the city?
The Community Redevelopment Agency, responsible for implementing the downtown plan and now the North Greenwood plan, redevelopment plan, the library system, planning and development, of course, economic development and housing, and the Parks Department.
Oh,
so you don't have much to do.
No, small, quiet departments.
Yeah,
that's something
else. Parks Department is actually the second largest department in the city behind police.
Is that right?
It is.
Wow.
Well, not a lot of people realize this. Kelly, tell us about the parks and your venture there.
Well, there's 109 city parks and one county park, but you don't oversee the county one. So 100, I think they just made a little area park, didn't they? So maybe now 110? I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I know we've got some small properties that are kind of what I call parklets.
Right.
And we do have some. We're just right now preparing to bring forward our new master plan. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got some improvements on some of these small properties to kind of enhance their status as a park.
That's great.
So. Kelly has visited all of them. I bet you you're the only person outside of the staff who's visited 110 parks.
Yeah, not many. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's great. And, of course, you mentioned the library system. Mm-hmm. Again, for a city the size of Clearwater, which is, what, 120-plus thousand,
mm-hmm.
to have five libraries is pretty darn rare. Most counties have, you know, I mean, most cities comparable might have one.
Yeah, I, of course, as an urban planning background, I like to say that we're a big little city.
Yeah.
True, 120,000. I think we're going to grow a little bit this year. There's been a lot of multifamily development along US 19, that sort of thing. So I expect the city to have a, you know, for us, a built out community, largely a fairly robust decade from a population standpoint. But I think clearly for 120,000 people, we're very blessed.
Yes.
And we kind of punch above our weight class in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the extensive parks system, the library system,
mm-hmm.
And the things that we, the heavy lifting we can do as a community,
yep.
it's a pretty impressive array of accomplishments.
It is.
So
it
I think
is.
Clearwater is a, you know.
Progressive, pretty progressive.
Yes. Yes.
Jennifer Obermeyer oversees the library system, and we've worked with her on this project or that project over the years, and she is always, always reliable, always helpful, get things done type of person.
They're just a wonderful group of people. I think that's true with many of our city departments and leadership and the employees, staff, and line employees that we have. The amount of dedication is amazing. The commitment to quality service. You know, our library folks care a great deal about what they do every day,
mm-hmm.
and they show up to make a difference every day. And I think they do.
That's true.
Well, let's back up a bit. Where were you born and raised?
Born in. Nevada, Missouri, mm-hmm. southwestern Missouri. Grew up there. Went off to college.
Was that near Springfield?
Near Springfield, yeah.
Okay.
I went to Missouri State University in Springfield
gotcha.
When I left home to go to college.
Mm-hmm. And, remember Bass Pro Shops?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we used to buy some Heineken there at the little brown derby store at Sunshine and Campbell, where he started out with his
Johnny
the
Morris.
Brown Derby liquor store. Yep, and he had the little swirling... lure rack in there.
Yeah.
So I remember those days.
Wow.
We're talking late 70s, early 80s.
And now he's a billionaire.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's the first time I ever heard that.
Yeah, Johnny Morris.
His little swirly rack with lures.
Yes. Something else. I think that's literally just how he started there with that little store.
Yeah, and then did some empire building. You know Bass Pro Shops, Ed, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much all over the country.
Yeah. Big places, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you don't fish, just to go there to see the fish.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. It's like a museum.
And dream about the boats and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And they bought Cabela's, so they're...
Yeah, that makes them doubly huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to Missouri State University. You got a B.S. in Urban and Regional Planning, which is obviously apropos for what you...
And I'm happy to say, Doug, that I went to school on a 10-year plan. And I got out a year early.
10-year plan. You were not a career student.
I worked my way through and sidetracked myself on a few jobs here and there. And
there you go.
But I hung in there until the bitter end.
You got a master's degree. Where was that?
University of Central Florida.
Okay, you're a Knight.
Mm, absolutely.
Very good.
Go Knights.
Go Knights. All right. And then you got into the Pi Alpha. Right?
National Honor Society for Public Affairs and Administration.
Okay.
Yes.
Prestigious.
It was, by the time I found the Urban and Regional Planning Program at Missouri State and then ultimately Public Administration, I was kind of enjoying the education at that point. So I tend to do better.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic. As we all do when we enjoy something.
Absolutely. Yeah. If your heart's in it, your head's going to be with it too.
That's it.
The way it goes. What are the goals for the? I know the city's about to come and do a new strategic plan. Can you give us any insights as to what might be in store or what's being talked about at least?
Well, I think this is an opportunity for the new elected officials to kind of put their stamp
mm-hmm.
on the city's strategic plan. So, from an administrative standpoint, we're pretty comfortable with where the current strategic plan is. So it'll be up to the elected officials to decide whether they want to make policy changes to that or not. You know, but it addresses areas that I think are important to the city generally, and including our new elected officials.
Sure.
I think if you talk about the environment, sustainability, all those things, you know, I expect, you know, routes, methodology, how we get someplace may change, but I think people are generally committed to a better community generally. I think that's pretty evident. So we'll see how the priorities come out with that, whether there's any substantial changes. But I think right now we're pretty well guided by, on the administrative side of the house, working with our department heads to kind of identify work programs that are compliant with and support those strategic objectives. So until they're changed, that's going to be our path forward.
Well, I know I'm the Clearwater City Council, for those who don't know, is a member, five people, the mayor and four council members. And in this election, there were three seats up for election, and all three are new faces. Mm-hmm. There's a new mayor. Of course, the other mayor termed out. And then we had Brian Onk Sr. just to fill a gap when the former mayor, Frank Hibbard, resigned. And then we have in seat three, I guess it is, Mike Menino.
Mm-hmm.
And in seat two, we have Ryan Cotton. And then 2 years from now, the two people who did not have to run, those seats will come up. So they stagger it, so there's a chance for new faces and new ideas and new blood to come in.
Yeah, and still retain some of the corporate memory of those those 4 year election periods.
Sure.
So you don't turn over everybody in a year and then kind of, you know, so that's it's a good way
continuity
to transition from council to council.
Yeah, give some continuity that way. Well, let's get off topic a little bit and ask you what your family like. What is your family situation?
Well, my wife, Mary Kay, is retired.
What did she do?
She's doing some social media influencing as a sensational 60 travel and fashion. She loves to travel. One of these days, we hope to be traveling a little bit more. So I think, you know, she kind of works on that about 8 days a week. I think enjoys it immensely. And but otherwise, retired from full-time employment. Got a daughter in northern Iowa and two grandkids up there. My daughter's husband, he has a couple of kids, so they live up north of Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the rest of my family still lives in southwestern Missouri or the Kansas City area.
So. Gotcha.
Yeah.
What about things you like to do? I know you work hard and you have a lot of things on your plate, but when you do have free time, what do you like to do?
We like to, you know, I used to golf a lot,
I
have gotten out of the routine of golf, so that's something I really want to get back to one of these days.
Yeah.
But we like to boat. We have a small boat, so we like to get out on the water. I love to cook.
Mm.
My wife and I both love to cook, and I love to smoke. So I've got a smoker, a couple of them. You know, love to, you can smoke anything.
Yeah,
you can.
Kelly, you can, yeah absolutely. So I like to.
Do you smoke everything?
You know, I mean,
fish, of course.
Chili, I mean, there's some chili, smoked chili is wonderful.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Great.
I never heard of that.
Smoked salmon, I love, you know, smoked salmon's great.
Oh, that's delicious,
This past Easter Sunday, I smoked some sweet potatoes.
Mm.
Smoked sweet lovely, great stuff.
That's wonderful. Now, your boat's small, but do you have a grill or something you can cook out when you're out on the boat?
Yeah, it's got a, on the transom in the back, it's I've got a area there to mount
a grill,
a stainless steel grill.
Yeah, so cool. So do you fish?
Are
you on the boat? Not so much, huh?
Don't fish so much.
Okay.
That's something I'd like to spend a little more time.
So you just like to go out and cruise and just sort of enjoy the water and the scenery?
Head out to Three Rooker and...
Gotcha.
You know, anchor at Three Rooker or love camping at Caladesi. That's a beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Take the boat out there for the weekend, meet some friends, spend the night on the boat, and, you know, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds
You mentioned
totally.
Traveling. What is your favorite place or destination so far?
My favorite place or destination so far?
Yeah, that you and your wife have gone.
That's tough, you know.
Not counting Ybor City.
Not counting Ybor right. City. Well, that was going to be right up there at the
I
top.
Knew it would. But, I knew it would.
You know, I think, you know, probably, I mean, we've been to Rome, London, Paris, some of the, I think probably right now I just about have to say Iceland is.
Hmm.
You know, if I, you know, the other places are far more visited.
Yes, yeah.
And I think all those places ought to be on somebody's bucket list. But, in fact, I'm getting ready to take my daughter back there.
Oh.
We're going to do a father-daughter trip a little later this year, and I'm going to take her to Iceland.
That's great.
It's
the Blue Lagoon? Do you go there?
You can. Well, we did not, when my wife and I went there, we didn't go to the Blue Lagoon. Okay. It's near a power plant down near Reykjavik, so we went to a thermal pool up in northern part of Iceland.
Very smart.
Pardon?
Very smart.
So
that power plant, it just destroyed my hair.
And I'm sure it's very nice.
It's beautiful to look at.
But the one that we went to was on the top of a little mountain up in northern Iceland, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. So, so we're going to go do the ring road again in Iceland.
Iceland's beautiful, beautiful, without a doubt. It first really got on the map in my head in 1972 when Bobby Fischer played Boris Spassky. Mm-hmm. For the chess championship, and you know how things happen, and all of a sudden you never heard of Reykjavik,
mm-hmm.
and then this happens, and it just sort of just burns a hole in your mind, and then to go there, of course it's not like they have here's where Bobby Fischer and Boris Spassky played or anything like that, but. It just sort of gives you a geography. I mean, sad to say, wars do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, it's interesting you say that because I have a moment like that in my own.
Yeah.
And it was when Reagan met Gorbachev at the little white chapel there overlooking the harbor at Reykjavik. And I remember, yeah, this is probably about 1984. I'm guessing, somewhere along in there.
I'll be darned.
And I remember seeing those views of Gorbachev and Reagan sitting out on the lawn overlooking this harbor in Iceland. And so when my wife and I went back there before we got and we left Reykjavik, I said, I've got to go find this
and
little place where
right
Reagan and Gorbachev had their little summit in Reykjavik. And,
that's pretty cool.
And so we did. Just beautiful, humble little spot. You think here's two icons of the political world who
historic.
Sat there and, you know.
Amazing.
So.
Amazing. That is great. One of the things that you had, that I know that the council is considering and or has already considered, and that is the new offices, the new city hall, so to speak. Now, that's going to incorporate what? Is that going to have not only the council members, but also the staff?
It'll have be comprised primarily, a few exceptions to this, but the staff that are currently housed in City Hall or that used to be housed in the old City Hall.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is we will renovate the existing municipal services building, and so we'll move a lot of staff back in there who are there presently. There may be a little restructuring or reorganization of where people have their offices, but by and large, we will have the clerk, council, HR, city manager's office, public communications will be in the new City Hall building. So what we'll have there is a kind of a municipal complex between City Hall, the police, and then the municipal services buildings.
Wonderful. Okay. Well,
wait.
I'm sorry.
When is that going to be done?
You know, we're moving aggressively to develop the plans. We probably just passed 30-40% plans, maybe on our way to 60% for City Hall. So we pretty well have a funding path for that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll be doing right now is going through those plans, kind of value engineering things, getting it to where our construction costs and the expenses are in line with what we anticipate needing for the building. And so. I think we'll be moving quickly to be under construction there as soon as I would expect, 25. I don't know that we'll be later this year, but
how long will it take to build?
I would expect it to take probably about 2 years to.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
To get it.
Is it going to be a modern design or?
I think it's. We don't yet have a final design, but we've got a really, what I would call a very high-level concept of what it. I think you'll find that it incorporates some of the existing logo, the city, that kind of feeling of wave and movement. It's a very, I think it's a beautiful design. Very compelling piece of architecture. So I think our architects, Wanamaker Jensen, has done a good job to kind of capture a sense of Clearwater community, waterfront, the bay to beach, that whole vibe thing.
That's great.
Very good. All right. Well, what's the contact info for the city? For those who would like to know more about the city government and also all the things that are taking place, the whole calendar of events.
You know, myclearwater.com.
Yeah.
Go to myclearwater.com. Follow us on Facebook, social media.
Yeah.
You know,
there's all kinds of things going on. It's not just the beach. Of course, that's our hallmark attraction. But there's a lot of things to see and do, museums and golf courses and parks and all that. So
I encourage people right now to check out what's happening at the brand new Coachman Park in downtown Clearwater.
Yeah.
Over the last 9 months, our Parks Department has activated, and I'm talking about the venue, the performing, the BayCare Sound Amphitheater. I'm just talking about the park part, has generated 120,000 visitors. There is something going on in Coachman Park all the time.
Yeah.
Every weekend. So
fantastic.
Take a look at what's going on there and visit.
MyClearwater.com.
And isn't the first year anniversary coming up? Is that
June 28th.
June 28th. Great.
All right. Well, it's really been great having you on the show, Mike. Clearwater, and we'll drag you back in here, whether you like it or not, in another 6 to 8 months or so.
Doug, Kelly, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll be back right after these messages, but first see if you can answer this trivia question. How many words each day does the average person say? Is it about 10,000, 20,000, or 30,000 words? The answer after this.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence. Call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at guyharvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at guyharvey.com.
Just about everyone is fascinated by the mafia. Books and movies like The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, and many others became bestsellers and box office hits. Did you know that a century ago, mobsters like Al Capone discovered Florida's tropical climate and sparse law enforcement? Mafia bosses from around the nation began setting up illegal operations in Florida. Now, for the first time, a new book titled Sunshine State Mafia, A History of Florida's Mobsters,
Hitmen and Wise Guys provides vivid stories and never-before-seen images of dangerous criminals who settled in Florida full or part-time. Written by renowned author Doug Kelly, Sunshine State Mafia exposes the hidden history of the mob throughout the state and includes Doug's own brushes with crime figures. Sunshine State Mafia is available at all major book retailers or obtain a signed copy by calling 727-724-4949. Or email sunshinestatemafia@gmail.com.
These days, amidst supply chain issues, staffing crises, and rising energy bills, it's not easy to be a successful entrepreneur in Clearwater. For many, financial fears have led to sleepless nights. On top of that, many more have employees and customers that they're trying to protect and reassure. A monumental task when they themselves are struggling with burnout. We're all experiencing a lot of intense emotions. So where can you find safe harbor? At Amplify Clearwater. Amplify Clearwater is your chamber of commerce, and the name says it all. To make Clearwater larger, greater, stronger. Here you'll find like-minded members who are seeking opportunities to learn from each other. To collaborate, network, support, and do business together. Every business owner's goal in 2022 is to grow their business. If you need help, your friends at Amplify Clearwater are here for you. Submit your application today at amplifyclearwater.com/join.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, thank you for being with us today. I don't know if you saw the eclipse earlier and didn't burn your eyes out, but it was not a full eclipse. It was partial here, but it was still kind of remarkable.
Yes, it was.
Thanks for being with us. I'm Doug Kelly. I'm here with my better half and co-host, Kelly Kelly. And just before the break, we asked a trivia question. How many words each day does the average person say? Is it 10,000, 20,000, or 30,000?
Words. I would have said 10,000, but that's
what
that's
do you think,
me.
Devon?
30,000.
Yes, 30,000 is correct. A little over 30,000.
I got a Lola for 50.
Yeah, Doug too.
Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of Ed Davis.
Yeah, Ed Davis is the executive producer of the Tan Talk Radio Network and joins us today in the control room. How have you been?
I was just disappointed in the eclipse.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, you know, all week, I've been like, why are these people running out there? Now I can see why they all went out there to get the total effect.
Right,
because that
right.
was, I didn't know it was going to be like night and day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we see more of an eclipse here at 5 o'clock in an afternoon thunderstorm running through. So
that's true enough. That's
it could go enough. From this to everybody has to turn their lights on, for crying out loud.
Well, it's one of those things you can say you saw it.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't a spectacular thing, but you know, they don't come around that often.
That's true.
Moon getting in front of the sun.
That's true.
So,
our next guest also has a very important job. Javon Graham is the Division Chief of Emergency Management with Clearwater's Fire and Rescue. Thanks for being with us today, Javon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Super, super. Go ahead. You're going to say something.
It's one of those days.
Go
okay,
ahead.
Well,
thanks,
I was going to ask, where is the emergency management for Clearwater located?
Okay, our city EOC is housed on the Fire Station 48 training complex, which is just on Belcher, just south of Sunset Point, across from Salvation Army and the Long Center. So EOC is based out of that, connected to the training facility.
Okay, so how many people work in that department?
So in the fire department, it's about 205. For emergency management, it's actually a team of like two people. But what I do is I incorporate every director and manager to kind of help oversee the overall city operations. So when an event comes through, people have to dual role and dual responsibility, and I kind of just manage all the chaos that comes our way.
Okay. So say a hurricane's coming. What happens?
Oh, when they come, we start watching them probably about 2 weeks out. Even before we start pushing major notifications, I'm looking, seeing the directions, seeing the what-ifs, basing it off of past storms we've had. And then we start pushing notifications to our city staff and administration and start making preparations. Some preparations take a good 5-6 days to actually do, where some take only like 12 hours.
Mm.
So some of the stuff that we prevent or try and take down, we do that stuff early and then still watch the path. We button up the city more and more until a couple days before the event, I start housing the EOC, bringing people in, determining who's going to have to ride out the storm, making sure their families are good, their supplies are good, if we have to shut the city down, how we coordinate with the county, a lot of the organization of that aspect.
So how do you determine who rides out the storm?
So that's predetermined. Uh-huh. We have set people like myself, and you have public safety who always has to ride out some of the events. And then based on your operations, like if you're stormwater, you're dealing with the flooding. If you're public utilities, you're dealing with the waste treatment facilities. Mm-hmm. If you're engineering, you're dealing with the lights, electrical. So a lot of times you have to ride out, and you work up until it's safe or not safe to. Usually it's the wind, sustained winds of 40, 45 miles per hour. And then once the winds have died down and it's daylight, your push teams go out to start clearing the roads, working with Duke Energy, ensuring that facilities aren't shut down. Like the last thing we want is a public utilities go down with the sewage treatment plant. And so we have guys working or people working there throughout the night to make sure those systems stay online. So it's really a major coordinated effort between the entire city.
And in your office, you have like TV screens.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Cameras we have, throughout the city.
We have large 8x10 screens. It has like 8 screens. We have news channels up from all different area. Weather channel. We have breakout rooms with mapping and everything all on the walls, and clocks from different time zones, and it's all our centers are laid out. Every desk has computer, laptops, phone systems, because we also coordinate our efforts with the county. So we have to be in touch with our counterparts with the county and then other departments and the different DOC. So we have Emergency Operations Center, which handles the entire city. Then each department has an operational center. So like the fire department has its own departmental operation. PD has its own departmental, which will report back to my emergency operations center for the city.
Okay. So you have contingency plans for practically everything.
Just
you
about
can
anything.
Imagine.
Yep.
If there's a tornado.
Yep.
Obviously a hurricane, flooding.
Yep.
Fire.
Yep.
So
I understand we can get earthquakes too.
We can. It's rare.
It's rare.
It is rare, but believe it or not, there is a fault line in the Gulf, and it actually has registered. I mean, they have that fear of tsunamis, and the tsunami that did hit us was only about 2 foot tall, but I don't think anybody really recognized it when it came.
I'll be darned. You can't exactly surf it, can you?
No. Not unless you're a little tidy poodle or something, you know?
You've been really experienced. I'm looking at your resume here, and you joined the Clearwater Fire and Rescue back in 1999.
Yes, yes.
As a firefighter, EMT. And then you were an active member of the tech team, marine response team, and the dive team.
Yes, sir.
Now, did you get certified as a diver?
Yes, deep water diver. I've done many dives.
Scuba.
Searched areas. We've done offshore dives, inshore dives. I'm swift water trained to deal with that sort of emergencies, high angle. I was part of all those teams coming through.
What do you
the
do
ranks.
If you find a treasure galleon?
I don't tell anybody.
You and I will be partners.
Okay, sounds good.
I got to ask this of Ed. Ed?
You?
How old would you think Javon is?
You sort of gave him away a little bit. I'd say mid-40s.
Yeah. You know, I did give it away because I said he's been with the city since 1999. I thought he was about 30, 35.
I could have said that, but you gave it away.
I did. I'm stupid.
I thought he was in his late 20s.
Thank you.
He's 50. I'll never be an age guesser.
He's 51.
Yeah.
Very well preserved. And you said it's probably hereditary.
Probably.
Do your parents have long lived?
Oh, yeah. Well, my grandfather, I don't think he turned gray until he was 80. You know?
Wow.
So it's just, I don't know what it is. Good living, I guess.
Good
I
lucky.
Know.
Good for you.
Happy all the time. There I'm never go. Upset
yeah.
at anything. So.
Yeah. Lack of stress.
You guys got a lot to do with the roadways in Pinellas County or in Clearwater, too. But the big project's about to open with the Gateway Project. The roads, the toll roads are going to be added. How much do you think that's going to alleviate some of the, like the 19s and the Almerton roads that are in your area?
It's. You mean how much problems are it going to be?
Problems, traffic, whatever. I mean, this is a huge event that's going to happen.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Can you explain it?
Well, it's going to connect the Bayside Bridge. You're going to go right over. It's an elevated extension. That's going to go past St. Pete Clearwater Airport.
Wow.
It's going to connect to Almerton Road. It's going to go down to, I think, 118th. It's going to connect everything over to 275, all traffic light free.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not wallet free. It's going to come out of your wallet.
Yeah.
But it is a toll road, but you can now get on there and go all the way without any traffic lights at all.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge project. And that will eventually connect to the new Howard Franklin Bridge that's being finished up, the extension.
So how long is this going to take? 5 years?
No, this opens up next month. It's actually late. It was supposed to open in March.
Okay.
I believe it's probably within the next, I want to say, 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Apparently, I've been living under a rock, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I've got to just read some of the things that, that are in your bio, because it's really impressive. Besides what I'd mentioned about joining the Clearwater Fire and Rescue back in 99, Javon was promoted driver operator, fire lieutenant, chief of health and safety. He has held his current position as the division chief of emergency management since 2017. Chief Graham is a nationally accredited fire instructor and fire officer, and has a variety of certifications relating to FEMA, emergency management, and the fire service. He holds the chief fire officer designation from the Center for Public Safety Excellence, is credentialed with the Emergency Service Leadership Institute, and is recognized as an emergency manager with the International Association of Emergency Management, along with being an adjunct instructor for St. Petersburg College. Division Chief Graham has a Master of Public Administration degree in Emergency Services from Columbia Southern University. Wow. Now, Ed has a kindergarten equivalency diploma. And he's pretty progressive, too.
That's good.
And graduate of Billy Bob Votech.
There you go. There you go. Now, it's really an impressive background.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Congratulations. Where do you see your department as the city grows? What do you think is going to occur in terms of what you're working on or goals?
The city department? Oh, we're in a wonderful fire department. Our department is progressive. We have good, hardworking people.
Scott Ehlers.
He's not the best, but just don't tell him I said that. No. Chief Ehlers is phenomenal.
He's a great guy.
He's a good leader, good friend. He's taken our department to a new level, and he's really been good for us through these last 10 years.
Yeah, he is. He's super and a great representative for the city, too. And his son is now getting involved.
Yes, his son's actually hired.
Yeah, over in Dawson, over in Tampa.
Before you get into any questions, so what happens between hurricanes and disasters?
That's a great question.
You sit back.
You know, some people think that. They call me the weather chief, you know, but no, what's funny is I have an interesting role within the city. So working through the ranks of the fire department, I have the ranking of a division chief officer in the fire department. So I have administrative duties, operational duties for the fire department. I run a component of that. Now, when an event comes through, whether it's beyond the normal, and that's what I tell people, it's beyond the normal exercise, beyond the normal event, or like the plane crash or something like that, I get involved. And that's when I put the emergency management hat on, and I report to the city manager at that point. My role gets bigger, the fire department gets not pushed, but redirected to a degree, and I take on more of a city role or city responsibility. And then off-season, if there's ever an off-season, I'm still dealing with FEMA, dealing with the state, because when we do have our emergencies from the prior years, it's up to me to kind of recover those funds and resources. Okay. And then off-season, we have planning. Okay, what worked last year? What didn't work? What can we improve upon? What contingency plans and continuity operations do we need to put in place, and so that we can constantly be ready for the what if, and hopefully, you know, we're as prepared as we can.
That's good.
So you do drills, right?
We do. We have
a lot
constant
of practice drills.
Yep, constant drills between the departments or citywide based on scenarios that might come, either if it's a hurricane one. And again, a lot of this is worked with the county as well. We make sure that all our messaging is consistent with the county and that we're not talking different languages. And so we make sure everything is compared with the county, worked with the county, and then our city stays prepared as well as we can.
Very, very good. Complex, but sounds like you're on top of everything.
Try to.
That's really good.
They pay me to worry, they tell me.
You get the big bucks, too.
I don't know about that, but they pay me to worry. No, it's good.
What?
Well,
go ahead, huh?
Evidently, they're not affecting your appearance.
Yeah, right. You don't have too much stress.
I get gray hair over the littlest thing.
Yeah. So. What about your family?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
I have two boys.
Oh, cool.
I have a 16-year-old boy and a 13-year-old son, two sons. My 16-year-old swims for East Lake High School. My youngest one, he wants basketball and football, and they're great boys. My youngest one's the giant in the family. I'm 6'1 and a half. He's 6'2 and a half, almost 6'3, and he's 13.
God.
He wears a 14 and a half, almost a 15 shoe, so he's not done.
Oh, my gosh, that's cool.
So, yeah, so it's fun at home with us. You know.
Yeah, that's a big advantage in athletics.
Oh, yeah.
That height, fantastic.
I need a scholarship now to pay for my food bill.
Yeah. They do tend to have a nasty habit of eating three times a day.
I know, it's crazy.
It's awful, just awful. And as far as things you like to do, we always ask this too to sort of lighten up. What do you like to do in terms of your time off, hobby, or You like to watch Jeopardy or play chess or go fishing? What do you like to do?
So I love fishing. Uh-huh. I love outdoors, mountains. I do have a convertible, so I love driving that. It's an old convertible, so it's like one of those that, like this weekend, I just took it out, went down the coastline, and just ate at different places. Nice. That, to me, is relaxing. Yeah. Get away from the bustle of all this other stuff that happens and just decompress and
let
just
the breeze
go for
hit your face.
Exactly. Go through my hair. Just really, you know.
I love that.
That's great. She likes to do that. Yeah. Kelly likes to just jump in the car and go places.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't do it often enough. We have a dog.
Yep.
So we take her. Do you have any animals?
No. Yeah. No. I do have one. A chocolate lab mix.
Oh,
yes.
Oh God.
Yeah.
What a great dog.
Yeah, she's precious.
Jeez, I had a lab once. They're just sweetest things in the world.
Yeah.
That's really great. Well, it's good to. It's really been fun chatting with you.
Thank you.
We are going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to close things out. So stay with us, and we'll be back. But let's first see if you can answer this trivia question. True or false? Pigs can learn things faster than dogs. True or false? With our answer right after this.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Just about everyone is fascinated by the mafia. Books and movies like The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, and many others became bestsellers and box office hits. Did you know that a century ago, mobsters like Al Capone discovered Florida's tropical climate and sparse law enforcement? Mafia bosses from around the nation began setting up illegal operations in Florida. Now, for the first time, a new book titled Sunshine State Mafia, A History of Florida's Mobsters, Hitmen, and Wise Guys, provides vivid stories and never-before-seen images of dangerous criminals who settled in Florida full or part-time. Written by renowned author Doug Kelly, Sunshine State Mafia exposes the hidden history of the mob throughout the state and includes Doug's own brushes with crime figures. Sunshine State Mafia is available at all major book retailers or obtain a signed copy by calling 727-724-4949. Or email sunshinestatemafia@gmail.com.
Ask any successful entrepreneur. They'll tell you that the fundamental way to grow a business is through strategic connections. Relationships drive business. Forming a solid network of reliable contacts is essential to your growth. And there's no better way to get connected in Clearwater than through membership in Amplify Clearwater, your Chamber of Commerce for Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Amplify Clearwater is your first level of support. Membership affords you the opportunity to meet like-minded business owners you otherwise wouldn't have met. You'll be able to collaborate, network, support, bond, and do business with each other. Interested? then visit AmplifyClearwater.com. There you'll find all the information you need to make an informed decision and start the membership application process. Amplify Clearwater. One community, one chamber, one vision. Join today at AmplifyClearwater.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Kelly Kelly. I'm here with Doug Kelly, hey. My better half. Yeah. Hey. And before the break, Doug asked, is it true or false that pigs can learn things faster than dogs? And believe it or not, that is true.
Mm-hmm. That's actually pretty well known.
Is it really?
Yeah, pigs are fairly intelligent on the scale of, you know, intellect in animals.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm smarter than you, so
that's not debatable at all.
So today I would like to thank our guests, Clearwater Assistant Manager Michael Delk and Javon Graham, the Division Chief of Emergency Management with Clearwater's Fire and Rescue.
And I'd like to thank three guys who always help us out with an ad that runs every day that promotes our show, and that is the baseball great Wade Boggs, football legend Jimmy Johnson, and the marine artist Guy Harvey, and conservationist. And Kel, it's time to do our verse.
Our verse for today is Amos 8:9. And it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day.
Oh, wonderful. I like that.
Yeah.
And also, I like to say too, each time, almost every week, don't go looking for happiness. Take it with you, right?
Right.
So on behalf of Kelly Kelly, Ed Davis, and myself, thanks for listening. And join us again next week for some more informative chat on the Kelly Kelly Show.
Thanks for listening to the award-winning Kelly Kelly Show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
and the world's all right with me. I just want to look at you, and I know it's gonna be
TAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.